Well, hello out there in Radio Land. Once again, it's Adam Lepp on The Talking Place, WGH Talk Radio. And as we generally do, toward the end of the month, with the first airing on the first Thursday, which is also the first leap day in 4 years. It's quite an interesting day, I would say, with a lot of great events coming up for the station in general, but not to sell this gentleman short, because whenever he's on the air, we have a good time, we laugh, we learn a lot, and we appreciate more of the great goings-on, and specifically the flora and fauna and events related thereto in the Marion and Mid and Central Ohio areas. And of course, that could be none other than Mr. James Anderson, the official naturalist of this station of the Marion County Park District, and as far as I'm concerned, the entire Milky Way. So let's make sure the intern has properly duct taped all of the cables and all the knobs are turned in the correct direction. How are you today on this late winter slash early spring day here in the Marion area, James?
Oh, I'm getting there.
Well, that's good. Well, getting there is certainly a good step, and getting there would pretty much apply to the weather transitioning from winter to spring. You know, before we talk about the goings-on at the Park District, past, present, and future, James, it's been a pretty wild winter. Mild, but, you know, we get the 3 or 4 inches of snow, then it warms up and it melts, and it seems like a few hours. And then, again, when we're first airing this program, overnight on Tuesday night, early Wednesday morning, we had tornadoes, tornado sirens, possibility of tornadoes in this area and the surrounding areas, had some heavy bursts of rain and some temperatures literally going from almost summer back to winter and then back to spring and maybe even a bit like summer. James, you, like myself, appreciate the four seasons. And as I say, sometimes we get the four seasons in the course of a week. Has this been a wild winter, or are we just kind of over-dramatizing because it's a leap year and, of course, the eclipse is coming? What's your take so far on the weather, and do you enjoy the variety as much as I do?
Yeah. As you mentioned, yeah, I definitely love the four seasons that we get here in our great state. But, yeah, this winter is just, yeah, very abnormal, definitely when that going back and forth, warm and cold. And I know I've mentioned before with you and Charlie and all, but the problem that nature faces, especially when it comes to the flora, the flowers and all. So once we get these nice little warm spells, and then some of these plants start to say, oh, well, hey, it's spring. And then they start to emerge, and then we get these cold snaps. Now, don't get me wrong. We do have, you know, these flowers are adapted to handle that for a little bit. But if you think about it, you know, what our previous winters, our normal winters we've had in the past, I mean, yeah, you may get a cold snap here and there, but we're not basically like in the middle of winter. So, you know, we do have a little bit more time, you know, in order for that little warm spell to really be happening. So, and of course, too, we've been getting reports, people telling us frogs and turtles and snakes are coming out along the Marion Tallgrass Trail. And kind of go along with that with the flowers, you know, being a cold-blooded animal, you know, it takes a lot more effort for them to go in and out of that hibernational state. So, again, when we're warm one day and then freezing cold the next day, if they can go back into that dormancy or that hibernational state, most likely they're not going to survive. So, yeah, I mean, yeah, we might enjoy it, but, you know, it does affect the wildlife and the flowers.
So other members of the animal kingdom, especially the cold-blooded ones like the reptiles, and one of my favorites, of course, the snakes, kind of love them and hate them at the same time, they really don't quite know what to do. They have an instinct and a schedule related to their body clock and their way their body functions, and that they're not warm-blooded like we are. Their blood temperature, body temperature is dependent upon the conditions, wherever they happen to be locating themselves and hanging their hat, so to speak. So it's been kind of rough on them. And I guess it does provide surprises, but it isn't really too good for their overall health is what we're saying. And I guess that could lead to some surprises during the events that the Park District is going to hold. And we will be talking about those events soon. Before we do that, though, we want to take a look at some just interesting tidbits, as James and I haven't talked actually yet in 2024. So we shall do that.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Again, James is the official naturalist for the Marion County Park District, and as far as I'm concerned, the entire universe. And we're glad to have him here, usually about once a month here with myself, Adam, on The Talking Place, WGH Radio. This program, James, again, is going to be so awesome that it will be airing many times. But if you're hearing it for the first time that we play this program, it will be Leap Day. I have a cousin, Eileen, James, who actually was born on Leap Day. Do you have any relatives born on Leap Day?
Not really.
Kind of.
No, unique. I do not.
So she's either an eighth of a fourth of her actual birthday, or she's her actual birthday. We subtract 2024, that minus the year that she was born. Won't mention that year, but like myself, she gets older, but she actually gets better, more than she gets older, since I have a milestone birthday coming up very soon. I would say the same thing about myself, so we'll just keep that in the family, because it obviously is a tradition in the LEP and related people that inhabit the great world that we live in. Of course, the other big event, James, would be the eclipse coming up in a few weeks, and we'll talk about that also. Do you have any opinions of Leap Day, James? Some people say it's a day you should do some extra things. You get an extra day out of the year, extra day in your life. Take advantage of that. Is it any meaning in your household? Or there is an owl event coming up, I believe, for a park district, which we'll talk about. But in your household and in your life, does Leap Day kind of mean anything, or is it just another day that we add to the late part of winter as we anticipate the spring and all the great things that the park district has on tap?
Yeah, we just treat it as another day.
So another day, another dollar, as they say, right?
Yeah.
In terms of the park district, we have the owl event. I guess it's called the owl prowl. So we won't throw in the towel.
Yep.
We will go ahead and talk about an event of those beautiful birds, which are a bit surprising. We've talked previously, they are depicted as being very smart. They kind of look like a person with wearing big glasses, but they actually have a very small brain. They are not very intelligent. The hawks and vultures, they're the smartest members, I would say, of the bird kingdom. I believe that that's what you had told me. But we'll discuss the owl prowl shortly, James. But we would be remiss if we were not to discuss the eclipse. Certainly a big event, and as a science person myself, I do find it to be rather exciting. Had the eclipse that was visible with totality in Nashville, which isn't too far from Marion, 7 hours if you make good time, a few years ago. But this one is going to go right through the Marion area. Any big plans, James, for the Park District and for the Anderson House for this tremendous, ginormous eclipse coming up a little later in the spring?
Yeah. So we are actually partnering up with Marion OSU, and we're really excited. And we're actually doing a sub-partner, too, with the Ohio Division of Wildlife. So the Ohio Division of Wildlife is really fascinated with the eclipse on the wildlife aspect, because we have had reports of, you know, how especially our nocturnal animals, you know, do they come out during that eclipse, during that totality? And they have found out that, yes, most of them do. Some of them don't. So I'm partnering with Ohio Division of Wildlife, and then what we're going to do is we're going to kind of talk about what happens to wildlife during the eclipse, and then what will happen afterwards. We'll kind of sprawl everybody out, and then we'll hopefully, you know, we'll see the eclipse. So 30 minutes prior, during the totality, and 30 minutes after, and we collect our data, and then we'll send it later to the Ohio Division of Wildlife, and then we'll kind of talk about, like, hey, what did you observe? So I'm really, really fascinated. I went to a workshop last month, and they were talking about how birds and mammals and certain reptiles and amphibians all are affected with this. And what's also was really cool about that workshop, the Ohio Division of Wildlife had previous records dating back almost 200 years ago about wildlife observations during eclipses. So it was really, really interesting. That's, you know, what people were looking at long ago. So I'm really excited to be part of that, since it's only a once-in-a-lifetime event. So I laugh because I researched that the next one that will happen in Ohio will be in 2099. So I told my son the other night, I said, well, I'll be 109 and you'll be 84.
Well, 84 by today's standards, that certainly is very attainable. And 100 plus, James, I would not put that past you. You're so valuable to this area. Having the wisdom that you would gain after passing the century mark in age, just imagine all the stories you could tell. Yeah. And you'd still be on the air with us. And I don't want to think how old I would be, but I'll still be chugging along. At least I would like to think that I would be. I mean, it throws people off, James, because you're seeing night in the middle of the day, and then the sun comes back, and a lot of people are going to kind of be mesmerized. Despite all the publicity the eclipse has, you don't really notice it. Don't appreciate it till you actually see it. And with animals, they don't know the eclipse is coming. They probably don't speak English, don't listen to all the news reports and read the papers and other media regarding this event, so they definitely would get confused. And don't the flowers, the ones that kind of turn in for night, don't they start turning in and they kind of come back when the sun returns? What's the deal with these flowers that can sort of go to sleep during a normal sunset, which is what it'll look like, of course?
So, yeah. Well, it's actually funny. Since it's kind of in the middle of April, a lot of our flowers won't be in bloom. Now, there'll be some. But yeah, so due to sunlight and, would not be there, and also too with colder temperatures, some flower species, yeah, they kind of close up into a tight bulb. And then once it starts warming up, they kind of exfoliate their petals. But I have not done some research of what happens to certain flower species. So that would be interesting to see what flowers, that are in bloom, what happens to them as well. So I'm not sure if that's what the Fish and Wildlife is looking for, but maybe if we find some flowers there at the OSU campus, maybe we might help report that as well.
Certainly, and it's intriguing that flowers and other members of the animal kingdom don't read the paper, don't surf the internet, don't listen to WGH talk and other radio stations, and don't know that this ginormous eclipse event is coming. Now, speaking of flowers, as I mentioned, April's kind of a transitionary month. One day is summer, one day is winter. Of course, it seems like February was the same, but with April, you never quite know what you're going to be getting. The last frost is usually in late April, or sometimes a very light one in early May. So we do see some early flowers popping up. And just cruising around town a few days ago, James, especially when the temperature was warm enough to wear shorts, and I was wearing shorts, and as were a lot of people earlier in the late part of the month. That doesn't make a lot of sense, but that's okay. That's good to be a little quirky. That's my middle name, to put it mildly. Well, anyway, James, getting back to that, I saw a lot of the perennials popping up. You just look at the mulch and you see the green sprouts all over the place. So it's actually quite a bit of that.
Yeah.
And are they being fooled by this weather? And obviously we're going to get more snow. We're going to get more frost. The last frost in this area is normally, again, a light one in the first week of May, but the last heavy one is a little closer to mid to late April. So are they going to get confused? And will this affect their ability to thrive if, again, one day we have the weather in the 60s, and next day we get more snow, or we get a hard frost? Is it good for these perennials, or does it kind of help them that it's exhilarating, and that the weather is very changeable, so they get a little more hardy? What's kind of your thought on that?
Unfortunately, most flower species, as we kind of mentioned earlier, they'll come blooming, once these warmer temperatures come, but then, when we get those cold snaps, yes, it will harm a little bit, but then a lot of times they kind of bounce back up. But if we keep repeatedly getting more and more cold snaps, more snow and all that, then eventually, no, they won't make it. Now, we do have a very cool wildflower that's in bloom right now. It's called skunk cabbage. It's our first wildflower that blooms here in the state of Ohio. And I know I talked about this with Charlie when he was alive. But it is really fascinating because it actually can melt the snow and ice around it. It's called thermogenism, and it's through cellular respiration. So, and they've actually have measured the temperature inside the flower to be almost about 70 degrees Fahrenheit even though the outside air temperature could be below freezing. And they can do this for about 2 to 3 weeks. And, yeah, within its name, skunk cabbage, yes, it does smell like a skunk. So they think it's flies and beetles that pollinate it. So it's definitely not the most attractive-looking wildflower. But and I thought that way, too, but, you know, really digging deep into their ecology and, again, learning that fun fact that they can grow through the snow and ice, I really have appreciated that, you know. This is a really, really amazing plant. It's actually now my favorite wildflower here in the state of Ohio. So it's not, like I said, it's not pretty, but it's pretty amazing.
So I guess people could say that about me, couldn't they? I'm not overly pretty, but I'm pretty amazing. I guess that would probably apply.
Yeah, there you go.
It's that voice, it's that face for radio and voice for broadcasting that we certainly certainly embrace. Anyway, James, bottom line, between these four seasons in 1 week that we're kind of seeing, especially late part of the winter here in 24, and the eclipse, the flora and fauna are going to be confused because they don't read the paper. They don't understand what tornado sirens mean. They don't read weather.com. They don't, well, maybe they listen to the station. Maybe some of the Animal Kingdom members do. But when we talk about these events, they probably don't have a comprehension thereof that human beings like yourself and myself do. But I guess that adds to the fun, although on a more serious note, it can be damaging to some of these members of the great world that we live in. The plants, they can only be so hardy. Especially, the ones that are a little more sensitive, the ones that you have to cover whenever temperature is going to drop below about 34 overnight. And again, some of the members of the animal kingdom, the reptiles especially, being cold-blooded, they aren't quite as tolerant as humans are, so they're probably kind of shaking their heads. But again, they are very possibly going to embrace the changeable weather just like the human beings do. And I tell you, one day here, it's like I'm wearing my winter coat. Next day, I'm wearing shorts. And next day, I'm not quite sure what I'm going to wear until I look out my window and kind of see exactly what is going to transpire in the meteorological department. Do you remember any tornado warnings or watches, James, in February previously? Is this about the earliest that we've ever had of tornado possibility in this area?
Yeah, in my lifetime. I actually told my son that this morning. Because once we got the call that he had a 2-hour delay, I said, I think this is the first time I've ever experienced a 2-hour delay due to a tornado warning. And we kind of laughed about it. So, but yeah, it was quite a fun morning this morning, especially around our area.
I do enjoy the variety. It certainly keeps you on your toes. Adam here on WGH yes. Talk Radio, speaking with our official naturalist, Mr. James Anderson. We meet with him via the airwaves approximately once a month, and we never run out of topics. And speaking of topics, I have mentioned the owl prowl. Don't throw in the towel. It will occur on Leap Day, which is the first day that this program airs. Tell us about the owl prowl, James, and again, recapitulate about how owls are thought to be smart because they look like a human being wearing glasses, but actually they are not too intelligent, to put it mildly.
Yeah, so our owl prowl program at the trail, that will start at 5 p.m. Now we'll start there at the trailhead. So I know what you're kind of thinking. You're like, well, it's not quite dark yet. Yes, you're right. So what we're going to do at first, we're going to talk about the owls of Ohio, the ones that call Ohio home or visit Ohio during the winter season. And then also, too, we'll talk about a little bit of their ecology. And then we'll go out along the trail and we'll try to call them in. See if they will respond. It is most of them, their breeding season, so they're most of them are pretty vocal. Our great horned owl species, he kind of gets kind of early in the game. They usually start in December, but most of our other owl species start in February. But yes, what's actually kind of funny, as you mentioned, you know, we when we think of owls, we think of wise or wisdom. Well, we've come to actually find out they're actually not the smartest birds. If you had a scale from the most intelligent to the least intelligent, owls would be the least intelligent. And actually, your parrots, like the African gray parrot, the macaws and all that, they're your most intelligent. And then again, like the reason why, they have a very small brain because their eyes, for the owls, take up about 70 to 80% of their skull space. because as we know that owls are nocturnal and they need those large eyes in order to see in the dark environment. So, again, when we hear about why is this an owl, it's kind of an oxymoron statement.
So. That just makes it a little more fun. Don't judge a book by its cover. It applies to owls, to humans, and almost anything else in this adventure that we call life. Adam here on The Talking Place with James Anderson. Before we get to the events, past, present, and future, James, I noticed there is a parking adjustment due to some construction and improvements in the Tallgrass Trail parking lot. The Ohio Division of Wildlife is expanding and updating the parking lot next to the Tallgrass Trail at State Route 203. This will make the gravel area larger. So tell us about that, James, and what are the alternatives for those who don't roller skate or skateboard or take their mini bike or walk to the Tallgrass Trail but take the old-fashioned vehicle? Is that going to affect that? Is it going to be the big improvement that we're hoping? Tell us a little more about this parking lot project.
Yeah, so the Ohio Division of Wildlife, as we've mentioned in the past, they're our neighbors with Marion Tallgrass Trail. And right there, that parking lot, that is actually technically owned by them, by the Ohio Division of Wildlife. But as we mentioned, the trail is right adjacent to them. And so the problem in the past, especially in the wet season, it usually gets very muddy. And you know, unless you don't have four-wheel drive, you're usually not going to be able to park there. So they have decided to just add a little bit more gravel to the parking lot. They're just basically want to expand. They do have to put some drainage tile so it's not flooding all the time. And this will just, it's not just for Tallgrass Trail. It's mainly for the hunters that, you know, that use Big Island Wildlife Area. So I'm not sure exactly when or how long this project is. It started yesterday. Our wildlife officer, yeah, he relayed the information to us, and then we put it on our social media accounts. So, yeah, just keep up to date on our social media / Ohio Division of Wildlife, and hopefully here for too long, they'll have the nice kind of updated parking area.
So like with any road construction, James, we hate to see the orange barrels, the detours, just the inconvenience, but it's going to be worth it, and parking's important. Most people drive to the Tallgrass Trail. They don't skateboard. If I skateboarded, I wouldn't be able to do this show for a while because I'd be sitting in the hospital for many weeks, but they don't roller skate. They don't maybe take their bicycle or moped or e-bike, but in general, people do drive there. So it's going to be something that will be worth it in the end. And none of us like to have to deal with road construction. It's always a harbinger of spring that the road construction starts, which I guess isn't too bad of an item. But in the end, it'll be worth it.
Can I add one more thing?
Oh, certainly.
About that real quick. So just keep in mind, you know, there are other parking spots along the Marion Tallgrass Trail. Again, that's not the only one. There's, of course, the trailhead by Whirlpool off Holland Road. Then there's one out by the lake off of Her Road. And then the other one would be on Epsyfield Road. If you park at the Epsyfield Baptist Church, it's only a quarter mile to the trail. And then our last one is out in D-Cliff. Our other Port-A-John restroom is out there, and we have a little shelter house out there as well. So, yeah, so don't just think because of this one, a 203 is gone, that you can't use the Tallgrass Trail. Yes, we have five parking spots altogether, so but now currently four. So
certainly will be worth it, and that's the price we pay, I think, for progress. The Park District has grown greatly since you've been at the helm, and we want to plan for the future and allow people the ability to get to these events and attain the most knowledge out of them, as you always learn something and always laugh a little bit. That to me, that's one of the most important things. But you discover what's great about this area, the variety of flora and fauna, whether or not it's winter or spring or one of these four seasons in 1 week times like we have now, or nice 90-degree humid day in the middle of July or August. So, James, we had not talked again for a while, so tell us about the events that have occurred during the winter of 2024, and as we've discussed before, just because it's cold outside, even if it's snowing and windy, you still have these events, and since we do discover the wildlife, obviously the way wildlife behaves and the type of wildlife we see is going to be different on a 20-degree snowy day in January than it will be on a hot and humid day in the middle of July. So tell us about the events that occurred during the past month or so. And again, remind people that, again, just because there is a wintry feel to the weather doesn't mean that we cannot have these types of events. And let us know, too, about the turnout. And are you disappointed by the turnout? Are you impressed by it? Just give us some thoughts on that, too, because like anybody, I'm pretty curious.
Yeah, actually, I've been telling a lot of people that this winter has probably been the best winter for attendance-wise. Especially in December and January, we had at least, one or two people in every one. Now, some programs, we had a lot more. It was just really fascinating because, unfortunately, because of the cold, and especially with December, with the holidays and all, not a lot of people do come out to the programs. I was just tickled for those last 2 months. A lot of people participated. Our winter hike series, we got that, started in January. So we had the polar hike in January. We had the sweetheart hike last month, or I should say at the beginning of February. And then we have the Shamrock hike coming up here, which we'll talk about a little bit later. I'm really glad that people are utilizing the parks. Like last month we did, our Bald Eagle program, and we had about 8 people that came. Our first day of the year hike, I was really fascinated that about 15 people came out. So I know a lot of people have the New Year's resolution, to be healthier and all that. So I don't know if that influenced to have a good sized number, but yeah, we got to go along the trail and, talk about the local flora and fauna. So, as I mentioned before, this is probably, in my opinion, out of the 8 years, almost 9 years going on, probably the best winter season that we have had for attendance wise.
Well, that's good. Do you think the somewhat mild weather has helped, or is it just invigorating to go out on the trail when it's 20 degrees? Just bring your hat and gloves and your boots. Make sure you're sufficiently warmed up and discover this natural beauty during that time of the year. Is that an influence at all, or do people kind of like going out during some of this crazy winter weather in the Midwest?
You know, we've had previous winters before. I remember, I think my very first winter with the Park District, which would have been 2015, if you remember back then, throughout the entire winter, it was 50, 60 degrees throughout the entire time. I don't even think we even got snow, or at least we barely got any snow. And again, didn't have a lot of people. And I have to remember 2015, that's when I just started. So probably not a lot of people knew who we were back then. But of course, we've had other winters too, where it was relatively warm. And again, the attendance wise wasn't the greatest. But I don't know, maybe this year, just between the having better weather or people just wanting to get out and explore nature. Maybe it's a combination. Maybe there's another factor involved. But again, I'm just tickled that people want to get out and learn something new.
Yeah, good thing that you've greatly increased the visibility of the Park District. People are coming out. They're hearing this show, hearing your other programs, hearing your other appearances in the media. And the weather, it's, I guess, debatable if the warmer weather helps. I'd certainly prefer to be outside when it's 50 or 60 degrees, but when it's 10 or 20, as long as you're bundled up, you can see what this our surroundings, the flora and fauna, are like during the colder weather. You kind of see it in their natural habitat. So it's something to be said, I think, for both philosophies. Bottom line is we encourage people to partake of these events. And certainly James is someone who's knowledgeable, doesn't mind questions. I mean, goodness sakes, he wouldn't be on with me if he minded questions, because we always throw a curve at the guy. Before we get to the events coming up in the late winter and early spring, James, remind us about the internship opportunity. I see that was posted on the Park District's Facebook page a few weeks ago. We had a great intern who was here for a couple years. He was on the air with us once and did a lot, but nothing to say that we can't get another great intern. So tell us about that program, and also the fact that it is a paid internship. You're not going to make millions of dollars, but pays decently. And I would say it's a better than a lot of other summer-type jobs. You'll certainly learn something. So fill us in, James, and advise our younger listeners about how they may apply for this position.
Yeah, so as you mentioned, we are looking for our naturalist intern for this coming summer. If you're not familiar what this position entails, it just basically you're going to be doing nature programs, natural interpretation programs for all ages, from kids, adults, and seniors. Rather, it's in our parks like Marion Tallgrass Trail, or sometimes, you know, we do go out into the community. Of course, you know, we do go into a lot of the community events, like from the fair to like the Urang Bang, and just things like that. Or also to Third Thursday in downtown Marion. But yeah, we just tried to, you know, promote about what's going on with the parks. But yeah, we're really looking for someone who's either in college or high school. We, you know, as Jonah's a high school student, we've also had another high school student as well. But either someone who's pursuing a degree in natural resources or has a very high interest in natural resources. And that way, you know, you have a little idea, you know, of the local flora and fauna that, you know, when we're discussing programmings to the general public. And you don't have to know everything. Of course, I'll help teach you, and, you know, always a learning experience. And but, yes, if you apply, some ways to find out, if you go on Google, type in Ohio or Marion County Ohio Park District, make sure it's Ohio, because as we mentioned before, there are a lot of other Marions in the United States. And also our applications on there. And where to send the email, also too on our Facebook page, as you mentioned, Facebook, Instagram, and all that. We have our application on there. But yes, so we've got a couple candidates so far, but hey, we're still always open. So if you're more than interested, please reach out to us.
So we do encourage people to apply. It's fun. It is a paid position. And best of all, you get to work with James Anderson. How's that for a little bit of excitement? Can't beat that.
There you go.
Might even get to be on the show with me. We had Jonah on. He was on with me and on previously with, I believe, Charlie. So, or Glenn. Glenn, right? And
Glenn, yeah.
He was a great guest, extremely bright young man who has his own YouTube channel talking about his reptile pets. He will certainly be going far. And currently he's furthering his education in the wildlife and zoology discipline, if I'm not mistaken. So with the last third of the show coming up, James, we are saving this time for your description of the upcoming programs for late winter and early spring of 2024. Something tells me this will be a big banner year for the Park District. So tell our listeners about what's going on and also how they can participate in these events.
Yeah, so our upcoming programs we have for the month of March, on the 4th at 5 o'clock p.m., we're doing a Woodpecker Wonders hike at the Tallgrass Trail, starting there at the trailhead. So we're going to learn about woodpeckers of Ohio, and then we're going to learn a little about their ecology, and then we're going to go on a walk and going to observe some of those woodpeckers, because we do have several woodpecker species at the trail. On the 9th, we have our Shamrock hike, which we kind of touched a little bit earlier on. This is part of our winter hike series. Again, we do it for January, February, and March. It's from 1 to 4 p.m., and please remember, this is a come-as-you-go program, so or event, I should say. So if you want to come at 2:30 or 3:15, whatever time. But if you would like a optional guided nature tour with myself, that starts at 1:30. So, again, it's not required, but, again, if you just want to learn some about the local flora and fauna, some fun history of the trail, highly recommend you come on out. People wondering how long and how far do we go? We usually, you know, we leave at 1:30 and we usually make it back about 3:30 or a little past 3:30. Just depends on how much we see or talk about. And then also too, for distance wise, we've gone just from the trailhead around the lake and back, which is about 2.3 miles, and then the one at the Sweetheart hike, we made it from the trailhead all the way to 203 and back. So it was about roughly about 3.5 mile walk. So that kind of gives you an idea of what the Shamrock hike is. And what's also nice too, our park board member, Janine Williams, she makes delicious treats. We got cookies and Other fun, delicious treats and hot chocolate, apple cider. So you can always stop in and grab you some refreshments. On the 13th at 6:30 p.m., we're doing a woodcock or slash timber doodle program. If you're not familiar, it's a very unique shorebird that actually migrates through here, through Ohio. And we do have quite a few of them at the trailhead. Now, the reason why it's a little bit later, since it is more of a nocturnal bird, we do want to talk about it a little bit. And then as we're walking along, as the sun is setting, that's when they're going to be very active. So, yeah, a lot of these programs, forgot to mention before I started, are going to kind of be more in the evening because, you know, we have to abide their ecology or their behavior. On the 17th, we are actually partnering with the Ohio Division of Wildlife from 5:30 to 7 o'clock p.m. It's called the Exploring Waterfowl Identification. So this will be at Elgin High School in their Speak building. It's a little building just right outside of their football field. It's kind of their outdoor lab. Now, please keep in mind, you do have to register through this, and it is free. But you have to register through the Ohio Division of Wildlife. So they're the ones who are mainly hosting it. Myself and Levi Pasma, which is a biology teacher at Elgin, we're just kind of assisting with them. So we'll start there at Elgin High School, and then we're actually going right down the road. Because what's nice is Big Island Wildlife Area slash the Big Island Wildlife Headquarters is just about less than a mile down the road, and there's a lot of ducks out there. So it's not just for duck hunters, but also birders as well. So it's kind of a mix of our audience-wise. And on the 20th at 7:30 p.m., we're doing a sunset hike up the trail, but we will be starting at the Herd Road parking lot. So they're at Foundation Lake, so we'll take a little stroll as the sun is setting. So that'll be nice. Then on the 29th, we're doing, at 6 o'clock p.m., we're doing a listening for frog toads. Also, again, at the Tallgrass Trail, but again, they're at the Herd Road parking lot out there by Foundation Lake. So, that's when a lot of these guys are coming out. A lot of them, again, are nocturnal. So, again, we have to abide by their kind of their ecology or their behavior. That's why, again, some of these programs are a little bit later. So, but yeah, that's what's coming up. And then here shortly in April, you know, we talk about the eclipse, but also, too, I'll be doing the Sandhill Crane Count again with Ohio Division of Wildlife. I have a meeting actually tomorrow with them online, so be up to date with that. We're always needing people to help count sandhill cranes, which is a threatened species here in the state of Ohio.
So it looks like spring of 2024, James, will be quite a doozy. Now, helping with the crane count, yeah. That wouldn't be Fraser Crane. You know, I'm a big fan of that TV show. You're not referring to that program. You're referring to the bird. In fact, there was an episode of Fraser where a crane tried to attack Fraser. Maybe you saw that. It was kind of amusing, but kind of sad at the same time. But that's the way TV often is. How would one volunteer for this crane count? And also, how would one in general volunteer for the events that you have throughout the year? Because you're always needing people to help.
Oh, yes, absolutely. So, yeah, the way to really reach out, social media, again, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, which I know is now called X. Also, to our office phone number, 740-223-4161. Again, 740-223-4161. Leave a message, and I'll get a hold of you back. So that's ways, yeah, how to find out or if you want to help volunteer. And it's not just for our programs. We're always needing with help with basic maintenance up the trail, especially like when trees are falling with storms. So if you're someone or know somebody that needs something to do and, you know, is good with power tools or like chainsaws and things like that, please have them reach out to us, and we'll definitely get you into contact with some of our other head volunteers. And unfortunately, you know, especially having an asphalt trail, you know, we're always needing to do some upgrading or some basic maintenance with that. Now, our other parks are just more nature preserves. So, yeah, I mean, we clear trees here and there, you know, to help with the pathway. But other than that, those parks we basically leave alone for the most part.
So there are many volunteer opportunities for people, and we encourage those with an interest in wildlife to partake of those opportunities. Won't pay anything in the dollar department, but it will certainly provide education and a feeling of helping out the community. And we're all in this together and allowing these events to prosper, to flourish, and to continue and be better every year. It seems like every year, James, we talk and there are more events, more people coming, and just more things going on. And certainly our volunteers are a large part of that. I would imagine, James, the summer of 2024 is going to be a big one. Any special events, even a little bit later in the year, that people should mark their calendar for? Maybe something new that's going to occur during these upcoming sweltering summer months here in Mid-Ohio?
Well, probably our next big major event will be the Paleontology in the Park, our dinosaur program. So that'll be pretty exciting. That's usually in September. If you or anyone you know loves dinosaurs, we really encourage you to come out. And like we talked about volunteer-wise, we always need help, especially like with that event. Not just help running, but even if you want to help set up and tear down, because Wayne Fowler, who's one of our volunteers, he puts in, I couldn't tell you how many hours of, you know, just gathering, you know, resources and everything to set that whole event up. So, we're all in that, and Trail of Treats, which will be in October, but we got to determine what for the date. But also, too, opening day of trails, which I believe is April 27th. Since we're part of that Rails to Trails program, we kind of correlate with them, and it's just to help promote people getting out into nature using your hiking trails / your bike trails. Since we're part of that Rails to Trails program.
Those sound like some pretty good events, and the other ones coming up in just a few weeks. So we encourage people to mark their calendars, and who knows how surprising the weather might be. We might get a couple inches of snow in May, or we may get 90 degrees in May like we've gotten every few years. Certainly enjoy the surprise of the weather. And it can, as we mentioned, throw off our flora and fauna. So it isn't always a good thing for those like yourself and myself who enjoy the changeable seasons. But certainly, looking at the glass half full, we're able to see how it does affect our wildlife, flora and fauna, and how they adapt, how do their instincts come into play. And then our cold-blooded friends, like the snakes and turtles and lizards, how do they adapt? It's always something we can study and learn from these experiences and continue to allow the Park District to flourish and provide these great events like we have been talking about. Next time we get together, James, it'll be early spring. Maybe we'll get a snowstorm. Maybe we'll get 95 degrees. Never quite know, but you and I enjoy the variety, and that's always part of the fun. With just a couple minutes left, remind our listeners how to get in touch with you guys on social media, X or Twitter, or as you mentioned, whatever it's called, Instagram, YouTube, Facebook, all those great social media outlets. Tell people exactly what pages they should be liking and bookmarking to make sure that they're always kept abreast of what's going on with you guys.
Yeah, so for Facebook, it'd just be Marion County Park District and Marion Tallgrass Trail. We have the two. But then all the other ones, YouTube, Instagram, Twitter, and all that, it's just Marion County Park District. But again, also, too, if for our office phone number, if you have any questions or concerns, again, that's 740-223-4161. And then also, too, again, if you're online on Google or your search engine, again, type in Marion County, Ohio Park District. That's also another way to contact us as well.
We also try to promote the Park District events here on the station. So listen to our news reports, which, yes, are voiced by yours truly. So a little self-promotion. Why not? But we do talk about these events and encourage people to partake of them, as it is time well spent. You will always learn something. And speaking of learning something, I certainly did during these last 44 minutes. We always giggle a little bit. That's certainly one of the most important things in this crazy world we live in. And we look forward to speaking with James again at the end of March 2024. James Anderson, thank you again for being with us here on The Talking Place. I wish you well. And we again encourage people to partake of these events that are part of the Park District's schedule for 2024 and the years beyond. Certainly in our next program with the eclipse coming up, that may be a focal point. So certainly hold on to your seats as more excitement is certainly forthcoming. Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WGH Radio, adam at WGH1071.com.